Hallelujah.
Resurrection day.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. You have your Bibles. If you don't, you're unarmed. But if you do, turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, after the resurrection, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you." He had said that once before. I'm going to talk about that. "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. We thank you for the great commission, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you have privileged us with going forth to preach the gospel as Jesus did, as your apostles did, and now we, 2,000 years later, are still called to do. Father, help us to be diligent in it, Lord God, effective in it, empowered by your Holy Spirit in it, and to bear much fruit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." If you recall, last week we talked about Jesus' descent down the Mount of Olives.
Yes.
Where he was hope incarnate. Amen?
That's right.
He was the hope of salvation. And you know, hope, if you look at the word in the Greek, is not just a wish, it's a promise.
That's right.
It's something good that you expect, and you expect it with all your heart, expecting that it's going to come true.
That's right.
That's what hope is in the Bible. It's not, you know, what was her name? Dusty Springfield? Wishing and hoping. No.
Bring it in.
It's a promise. It's a promise. Praise be to God. He was the hope of salvation. He was the hope of mankind's future after it seemed like mankind had blown it so bad that it didn't have a future.
Yes.
He was the hope of restoration. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Praise be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
He restored a lot to me. Stuff he didn't take away.
Praise
be to God. He was the hope of freedom from the condemnation of sin. Do you know how that can play on your head? The condemnation of things that you have done in your past life? And he says, my hope takes that away. Praise be to God. He was the hope of deliverance from all that had plagued mankind from the fall onward. You know, history didn't end with Adam and Eve. It started with Adam and Eve, and then it led to our Savior coming to, what's the word I want? To take away all of the garbage that had gone from Adam and Eve up until his day. I'm removing it.
Yes.
For anyone who will put their faith in me. Praise be to God. He came down the mount for the salvation of mankind. Down that mount. Praise be to God. He came from eternity. He came from heaven. He came from glory for our fulfillment on our behalf, that we might have life eternal and life more abundantly.
Amen.
What does that mean? Once we're saved, we discover that there are various degrees of enjoyment and fulfillment in this new life in Christ, and that we can experience joy unspeakable and full of glory as we cede more and more and more of our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Life more abundantly. Have you discovered in your life, in your Christian spiritual life, that there are places that you can go to in the Spirit where you know it's beyond anything that you've ever experienced in your fleshly, personal life? And say, thank you, Lord. I didn't know this was available. I didn't know. I didn't know until now. Until you came into my life. Until you gave me the new birth. I didn't know that this stuff existed.
Amen.
Now I know. And it's wonderful. The abundant life. Let's here look at something that else that Jesus said after the resurrection. John 20. We're still there.
Amen.
Verses 22 and 23. Jesus had just spoken peace over his disciples. John 20, 22 and 23. And when he had said this, peace be unto you, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins, ye remit, meaning not just to forgive, but cast away and remove completely. When God remits our sins, it's a much more powerful word than forgive. Yeah, you can forgive my sins, but when he remits, he removes them completely. Casts them away forever. They are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain. Of course, the other side of the coin is that if the sins aren't removed, the consequences will last forever. They are retained. What an incredible responsibility and yet power God gave to his disciples, but including us. You have to know this. What? Yes, including us. But I thought only God could forgive sins. Yeah, that's true. But what I believe that God is saying here through his word is that in preaching the gospel to people, those who accept it and then and him can be assured that their sins are forgiven. And you and I have the authority to tell them. If you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have been born again, if you know that he is present now within you and has transformed your life, I can guarantee you, your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Praise be to
God.
Thank
you, Jesus.
I don't need a priest in a little, you know, phone booth type situation there to say, oh, Father, I've sinned, forgive me. Well, say three Hail Marys and this, that, and the other. No. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven.
That's right.
And they are remitted. They are removed from you.
Hallelujah.
Once and for all. Praise be to God. Praise be to God.
Lord.
We're empowered to tell them so. That's an incredible responsibility. That I could tell someone, after leading them to the Lord, guess what? Your sins are not only forgiven, ever he moved.
Yes.
God put them behind his back, as it says in Isaiah. He's cast them into the sea.
Yes.
You have no more sin. You have no more guilt of sin.
Thank you, Lord.
No more. Praise be to God. And I can tell you that because the Bible tells me I can. Praise be to God. Let's go back to the starting scripture here, John 20:21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Let's analyze it. First, it follows the resurrection. When Mary Magdalene, the first person to see the resurrected Savior, here was a woman from whom he had cast 7 demons. And a woman in a man's world. First one to see him resurrected. She comes early on the Sunday morning, the first day of the week. She finds a stone rolled away and runs to tell Peter and John, who rush to the tomb and find only Jesus' burial clothes in the tomb. You know I have to do this. 20, John 20, verses 6 and 7. I do, because they bring this up. Every year, about this time, they bring up the Shroud of the Turin, of Shroud of Turin, as something, you know, this is real.
Brought up at the dinner table last night.
What's that?
I said it was brought up at the dinner table last night.
Really?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Chapter 20, verses 6 and 7. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, following John, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie. Verse 7. And the napkin that was above his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Have you ever seen a picture of the Shroud of Turin? Yep. It's a whole cloth showing a person with wounds, and the Bible says no, it's two separate things, one covering the head, one covering the body. The Shroud of Turin is a fake.
Amen.
How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so.
That's right.
Praise be to God.
It's deception.
God will keep us. You know, remember when Moses, you know, they lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, that brazen serpent. They called what? Nanshutan or something like that? Nanshutan. And in 2 Kings, we read that the reforming king, Hezekiah, came and destroyed it. Why? Because they were offering incense to it. It had become an idol. Just as the Shroud of Turin has become an idol. He destroyed it. That thing needs to be destroyed because it's a distraction. We don't need to know. You know, we know that Jesus died on the cross. We know how he suffered. We know that he rose again. We don't need a shroud to improve upon that in any way. The shroud is nonsense. It ought to be burnt.
Yes.
Praise be to God. I always have to do that. Whenever we come to that
Thank
place.
You,
praise be to God. So Mary Magdalene comes, finds the stone rolled away. Praise be to God. And then the Lord reveals himself to her. She runs to Peter and John. They come running to the tomb, find it empty, find the burial cloth. And it's in this setting that Jesus reveals himself to her and then to the disciples in a room whose door is locked because they're afraid of the Jews. And he says, peace be unto you. After all he's been through, peace be unto you. Praise be to God. Don't fret. Don't fear. It's over, even though it's just beginning. It's over. My darkness and suffering has ended. And I did what I came to do. And now I can bring you peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Have you ever experienced that? I have, on a number of occasions. That peace that passes anything you can imagine. Oh my God, why can't I live like this every single moment of my life? That's what it's going to be like in heaven. Peace that passes all understanding. Every single second of the day.
Glory.
Praise be to God. You know, Jack has taught extensively on this word peace in the Greek, irene, also described as rest. I want to just add or point out a couple things about it. Remembering that Jesus speaks this to each of us. Peace.
Yes.
Peace. Peace. Praise be to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
First, it speaks of a state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. Praise be to God. You know, that's available to each of us if we appropriate it by faith.
Yes.
That peace that passes all understanding is available to each of us by faith. Praise be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
That means that as we listen to the news, you know, about the worldwide unrest and the financial crises that are visiting us here and all the other stuff, Jesus says, my kingdom offers you peace in the midst of that. Appropriate it by faith. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. There's an absoluteness about his promises. Peace be unto you. You can't escape the power of that promise. Peace be unto you.
That's right.
It wasn't just to Peter and James and John. It's to each one of us. Peace be unto you. You know, sometimes it's good to remind ourselves when we're in the midst of looking at the news and all that garbage going on, you know. Wait a minute. Jesus spoke this. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Can't say I always do it. I try, though. And I try, and I say, Lord, your peace be unto me. Praise be to God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Second, it speaks of a state of peace brought about by God's divine promise of mercy.
Yes.
Of granting deliverance and freedom from all the distresses that are experienced as a result of sin. Do you have any of those lingering distresses that have been brought about by sin, emotional, mental, physical, whatever?
Yes.
He says, my peace erases that.
That's right.
Has the ability and power to erase all of that. He says, I can deal with that. Mm-hmm. I can remove it like the garbage that it is.
Yes.
And throw it out.
Hallelujah.
In the trash, in the spiritual trash of existence. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I can take it away. And third, it refers to a new relationship between man and God. A reconciliation that could only be accomplished by the atonement. What is the atonement? It's Jesus shedding His blood for you and me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And saying, because I did this, you don't have to experience the condemnation of sin anymore. You don't have to experience the power of sin in your lives anymore. You don't have to experience anything that would drag you down and make you miserable in any way, shape, or form. You don't have to, because my power is now available to you. Praise be to God. Hebrews 6:19. After speaking extensively about the rest that is reserved for the people of God, you know we have a rest? We have an Irene.
Yes.
Available to us as people of God. Praise be to God. Which hope we have as an anchor, Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. In other words, there's a presence beyond the veil in heaven from whom we can draw hope day by day, both sure and steadfast, and that presence and that hope is the risen Savior in heaven. Praise be to God. But look at the list of traits that Jesus brought into His incarnation and calls upon us to emulate. He was poor. He lived off the generosity of others, had no place to lay His head, and eventually wound up in a borrowed tomb. You know, I look at... I was looking at something before I left today. Pat Robertson. Wishing that he had spent more time in ministry things than politics. Do you know Pat Robertson? He drew people's offerings. You know, $10 here, $25 there, blah, blah, blah. And he built this empire, and then he sold it to the Family Channel, to another network, for billions of dollars. And he took all that money that he had raised from people contributing to him and made himself a fortune. Now, you know, that's between him and God. But how do you do that? You know? How do you draw all this money from people? You know, people like you and me. $25 here, $10 there, $50 there. And build up this thing and then sell it and keep all the money to yourself. Let me be poor.
Yeah.
I'd rather be poor
than
be involved with something like that, you know? I was looking at him this morning and reading his nonsense. Well, if you want to be less political, why did you run for president and run a horrible campaign where you were just as nasty as the people you were running against? At any rate, that's just an aside. You know, mammon won't help where rubber meets the road.
Amen.
It's just not going to help. He came as a servant to minister to rather than be ministered to.
That's right.
Can we say that of ourselves? I'd rather minister to you than you minister to me.
Praise God.
He emptied Himself.
He
delighted to do the Father's will. He said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. Can we say that I only do what my Father tells me to do. Well, no. There are times I go sometimes off in this direction and that direction and do my own will. Mm-hmm. I'd like it to be that way. He went about doing good.
Yeah.
Do we go about doing good? Not always. Not myself. You can't find a situation in the Gospels where anyone who truly desired to be helped wasn't helped by the Lord. He helped everyone who reached out. He did everything by the power of the Holy Spirit. And his goal, ultimately, was the cross. And now he says to all of us who follow in his footsteps, go and do likewise. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you, says Jesus. I give you peace and power and anointing and all the benefits of the cross. But look at John 15. John 15. Beginning with verse 18. John 15, 18. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my word, my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. What separates us from the world? Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's what separates us from the world. We have the Holy Ghost. The world doesn't, nor do the worldly. It's all because of the cross. He's saying, just as God the Father sent me, and I suffered in this world in order to bring about his will, I'm sending you, and you're going to suffer. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be ridiculed and mocked because you belong to me. Let's go back to the Mount of Olives where we left off last week. We read in Acts that 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits, coinciding with Jesus' resurrection, the church was born with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But before that was the Lord's ascension. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts 1, beginning with verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now what does that speak to us? It tells us in your family, in your job, in your community, in wherever you go, we're supposed to be witnesses, aren't we? Starting right at home. And then expanding outwards. And when he had spoken these things, verse 9, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Praise be to God. And as a result of Jesus rising and ascending into heaven with the promise of his second coming, we have a whole new set of hopes. We had all these hopes of him coming down towards the cross, but now we have a whole new set of hopes with the promise of his return. We have the blessed hope of Jesus coming for us in the rapture.
Thank you, Jesus.
We have the hope of his steadfastness beyond the veil. We have the promise that Jesus' resurrection was the first fruits of our own.
Yes.
I'm going to be resurrected. If I die, I'm going to be resurrected.
Amen.
Or if the rapture comes before that, either way, I'm going up. I'm going up.
Amen.
Praise be to God. The promise that because of the resurrection, we can walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. Let's look at Romans 6:4. I'm almost done. Romans 6:4, where that phrase comes from. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In our baptismal immersion, we in effect attended the funeral of our worldly life, didn't we?
That's right.
Of our old man.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
Now we live in resurrection life. One led by the Spirit, no longer in bondage to sin, and allowing the Spirit to transform us day by day into the image of the one in whom we are truly immersed.
You,
we
Jesus.
Are immersed in Christ Jesus, aren't we?
That's right.
I don't know how that happens, but that's what we are. So that we can say, it's no longer I who liveth, but Christ who liveth in me. Praise be to God. Mm. And then there's the promise that Jesus, the resurrection and the life, guarantees us life eternal with him. First as ministers in the millennial kingdom, and later in the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And we have the knowledge that because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And what does he tell us? You can endure any cross that you may have to because of the joy that's set before you. The same joy to come back into heaven. We've never been there, but we're coming back. We're coming back. We're coming home. That's our home, the New Jerusalem. Praise be to God. I told you, I used to play in a rock and roll band. The rock is here now.
Yeah.
And I'm in the role up there. But on a more serious note, I just want to tell you, and I want to close with this, about something that I was reading the other day. A man named Thomas Hawker and a friend whom he had just led to the Lord, a babe in Christ, in the 16th century, and they were charged with heresy by the Roman Church. Why? Because they believed in the new birth, they believed in the Bible, and didn't believe in the heresies that the Roman Church taught. And they were in prison, and Hawker was about to be burned at the stake the next day. And this new babe in Christ said, you know, I'm scared. I'm really scared. You have to tell me that what you have told me and what I believed in is real. That it's all for real. And Hawker told him about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said they have been sent. They have sent themselves. They have sent Jesus to embrace you and to give you peace and power and everything that you need. And for their strength to be made perfect in your weakness. But he said, Thomas, I need a sign. You've got to give me a sign. You've got to tell me that it's all for real, that I'm not going to go out there and look like a coward, shaking like a leaf, while I get burned on the stake and then I wind up in a place called hell. You got to make it real. You got to give me a sign. He told them again about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, put your trust in these three, and they'll see you through, just as they are going to see me through tomorrow morning. And the sun arose, and they tied him to the stake, and they surrounded it with, you know, they call them faggots of wood, hay and stubble. That's all the world has to offer anyway. Amen. Wood, hay, and stubble. And they set him on fire while his friend watched through the prison window. And he was lit up like a torch. And he never uttered a cry. Not a groan. Not a scream. Not anything. You know what it's like to touch your hand to a stove, a hot stove? And imagine that over your entire body. Never uttered a word. And there he was, becoming burnt to a crisp. And it burnt through the ropes in his hands, and all of a sudden, as not only his friend and fellow prisoners were watching, but the onlookers that are looking upon our lives.
Amen.
As well.
Yes.
How is he going to die? And our onlookers are saying, how are you going to live as a Christian? Are you really going to live the life of a Christian? And all of a sudden, his hands, his fingers burnt off, and his hands still on fire, he lifted them up and went, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Praise
be to
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. And that friend was able to go to the same death that he did with all faith and confidence that God is for real. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. It's the blood, isn't it? It's the blood that Jesus shed for you and me. Hallelujah. That gives us power.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It reaches to the highest mountains. It flows to the deepest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power, oh Lord. It will never lose its power. Praise be to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, that's what I'm counting on. In my death, whatever form it takes.
Yes.
That God's grace is going to be more than sufficient.
Amen.
And it's going to see me through it. Whether I just don't wake up some morning or whether I keel over, or whether I'm in an accident, or whether whatever happens, that God's grace is more than sufficient.
Thank you, Jesus.
He saw that man through. He saw so many through. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs and see the testimonies of what people were subjected to and how God gave them the grace to overcome, I have to believe God's going to give me the same grace.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm a believer. It's the same believer. It's the same God. It's got to be the same grace. Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Let's close with a song. The altar will be open for prayer. Praise be to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Supremacy of your name. It just is before me, ever before me, and I love you. Your name is wonderful. Your name is beautiful. I thank you, Father, for how you have equipped your saints who have called on you and have been drawn into your kingdom where there is nothing but the aspects of the things of your kingdom which are righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I thank you, Father, that you have given us all these gifts. You have equipped us with various things from your kingdom, such as hope, the blessed hope that we have, and the glorious appearing that you're going to come again to bring your children home, to bring us home unto your Father, that we might be with the Father. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But meanwhile, we are here giving clear sign as to who dwells within us. You are the King of Kings. You have caused us to walk in newness of life. You have equipped us that others might wonder, what is that that works in our lives that makes us so much different than they? I pray, Father, that you would give us all And I just heard it three or four times through your word, through your prophecy today. A clear sign that others might be drawn to you, for surely we are not going just through Gethsemane, but they are all being squeezed and pressed out of shape too in this hurting and wretched and sinful world, Lord, where even the supposed good people have no idea who Jesus is. I remember as a young child, Lord, when I went to church, and just in a congregational church, it was filled with no seats on Easter Sunday. And Lord, I know things are changing, and people are being strained out who don't have a heart after you, who are not seeking you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. But as this pressing and squeezing goes on, there are going to be people looking for the glory. And I pray, Father, that you, as you have equipped us with all the good things of your kingdom centering on your agape love, that others might come and be drawn, and that we would be ever ready to share a clear message of the hope that lies within us, which is Jesus Christ, the door, the way. For there is no other way, and we wouldn't have it any other way. And we love you, Lord, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I pray, Lord, this day that we would all be given opportunity to share the hope that lies within us. And I pray, Father, that you would fill us to overflowing with your Spirit. And we yield ourselves unto you as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. Hope, meaning the desire for something good with every expectation of obtaining it.
Yes.
Praise be to God. I just want to read one scripture, 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise be to God. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.